Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with State Senator Tick Segelblum on marijuana, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mike Draper, Sam Kumar, and Monica Jay. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The 5th Annual Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Valley Electric Association, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Tick Segelblum. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, so the hot topic right now, you know, your middle name has become Mr. Marijuana, is the marijuana lounges. And the headline in the Las Vegas Review Journal was marijuana lounges in Clark County, a complicated matter. How complicated is it?
Well, I guess in all things, if 1 to 10 is probably a 10, but it's certainly doable. It's really more of the political will. But the key is that we've gotten it out of Carson City and pushed it back to local government, so county commissioners or city council can do what they want to do, and they have the legal authority to license pot lounges.
Okay, and to explain the position that they're in, which is that basically at this point in time, apart from your private home, there's really no place to legally smoke marijuana, correct?
Or even eat it. I mean, you can pop it and no one would know it. But the fact is, you're not allowed to consume marijuana in any form other than in your home.
Okay, so what do you see at this point as the resolution? And even people who are in favor, like Christian Kiliani, the Clark County Commissioner, are saying, let's take this slow. Let's get this right.
Well, I agree. Let's take it slow, but let's not put our heads in the sand. The reality is that we're inviting 40 million tourists to come here and use it, to buy it, I should say. We have $70 million in our budget just on the 10% excise tax, which basically is equivalent to $1 million a day marijuana sales for the next 2 years. So this is not an insignificant issue. So let's just figure out, you know, how people can use it publicly, making sure that, number one, people that use it are 21 or older, and then secondly, that they don't use it then to go out and get in their car and drive home.
You know, Tick, of course, the legislature handed down this legal opinion that gives the counties and cities the ability to pass laws about marijuana consumption lounges, but what concerns me is that Governor Sandoval is against this. And what he is saying is if we put up these lounges to smoke marijuana and ingest marijuana, it could be like a dog whistle call for the U.S. Justice Department and Attorney General Jeff Sessions to come in and start messing around with Nevada's legal marijuana industry. And what do you think about that? the Sandoval's concerned that the Justice Department could step in if these lounges are indeed made.
Well, first off, you know, I totally respect the governor, and I have to commend, you know, what he's done for the industry. After question two passed, he turned 180 degrees, instructed his agency to open up the recreational early, put it in the budget for the taxes. So he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's fantastic on the issue. But the question is whether having these lounges, which are visible and open, is something which will bring in attention or which will kind of relieve the feds from paying attention. Because the flip side is what's happening now, which is we're selling, you know, $1 million a day of marijuana to tourists, and no one knows where they're using it. And the reality is what we both know is happening is they're going back to their hotel room, back to the casino, back to the place we don't want them, which that, to me, would bring federal attention. So it's just, you know, we can all have our own opinions. But to me, the best thing would be to have a place where people can legitimately go and everyone can see. They buy it over here, they go over there and use it in public, and it's all kosher. And as you recall, guys, when we were growing up, Nevada was the place you could gamble. Nowhere else could you gamble. And it was we were viewed upon as like an experimental little place where we were the devil. But, you know, if you were some kind of a deviant, you could go to Nevada and gamble. And the people that lived in Nevada, where we were all perceived as kind of deviants, but that's who we were. And I think this is the same way with pot. We can be the little place where we're allowed to experiment to see and develop it. And if it works, then it'll go nationwide. If it doesn't work, then they'll set it down. But it just seems to me that from a national perspective, this is the place to try it, because that's how we're already viewed, as the place where illegal things are legal.
And let me just jump in here on this casino deal, because it's not the federal government per se that's saying you can't smoke in casinos or casino properties or hotel rooms. It's the Gaming Control Board and therefore the commission that's saying that, because of this being a privileged license. So that's not really, I believe, going to attract the attention of the federal government necessarily. That's more within our own state. But I mean, everywhere you go at this point in time, I had friends who were up at Lake Tahoe for the Who concert, up at Harvey's, and they said they were getting high just sitting there because there were so many people out in the field smoking pot. So, I mean, it's already going on. It's not a question of will it go on or not. Like you said, it's a question of do we find legitimate places for people to go?
Right. And do we at least tell people, come to Nevada, buy our marijuana, which we're doing, and, by the way, here's where you can use it. Or do we say, come to Nevada, buy our marijuana, but truth is you can't use it anywhere, and plus you can't take it back home with you. That, to me, is the hypocrisy of the current way we're doing things, and that, to me, is what would really create an issue with the feds. The fact is local law enforcement, at least here in Clark County, wants these pot lounges. They want places where people can use it. The casinos want it because they want places where people can use it. This is not something that I'm the only one out there talking about. Everybody's talking about it.
All right, let's take a break. More with Tick Sagerblum when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Tick Sagebloom.
You know, Tick, you're talking about, trying to open up these marijuana lounges, but it seems now we have a system where the tourists come in and they buy it, and with a wink and a nod, they find some place to smoke it. And I have not read about a massive arrest of tourists smoking reefers in Las Vegas. So why don't we just keep it the way it is now?
Well, to tell you the truth, the reason I'm really pushing this issue is because the idea of a public place where you can use a pot lounge or whatever is the next frontier for marijuana. And if Nevada can be the first state out there to really do this and publicize it, that's going to basically cement our reputation as the place you go if you want to consume marijuana around the world.
Okay.
And that's what I want to do. I want to have this be the place. We used to think of Denver as the place. I want Nevada to be the place where people all around the world say, oh, let's go to Nevada and smoke marijuana. Because that's where we're really going to make our money.
All right. Staying on that theme about being the new frontier of marijuana, do you think marijuana home deliveries will be allowed when the state enacts permanent regulations next year? I mean, call somebody up and tell them to bring over some pot and bada bing, it's at your door.
Absolutely. It's a done deal. We're doing it for medical right now. It works perfect. The police like it. Obviously, you have to verify who's getting it, but it's no different than somebody going into the store, showing them an ID, and buying it. And so, to the extent that it's workable, it's probably the best thing of all.
So, home delivery is going to be just like home delivery of pizza. Maybe you could deliver them both at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Fritos, too.
Let me ask you this, Tick. You said the police and casino operators are looking for these pot lounges. In your discussions with the police, are they noticing any trends so far, or are things still pretty much the way they were before this was all legalized?
No one has raised any issues so far about any change. And the reality is, as we both know, as you said, you went to the Who concert, they were smoking. I went to a Fish concert a couple of years ago down here inside, and they were smoking. They were passing joints around the building, 15,000 people.
Are you talking about smoked fish? For all our Jewish listeners, this will be.
So, I mean, the fact is, we're basically just recognizing reality, but we're also taxing it and making sure what people are using has been tested and so it's healthy. But otherwise, it's already been going on. It's already going on. Burning Man, what do you think they do out there? What do you think they do at Electric Daisy Carnival? I mean, this has become, Nevada's become one of the places you go when you want to have these big events and use marijuana and other drugs, frankly. But as far as the marijuana goes, let's make sure that we capitalize on it, both from a reputation standpoint internationally and also from a tax standpoint.
Okay, there's another issue about marijuana I want to talk to you about. Tick, some marijuana dispensaries want to stay open 24/7. They say it would help deter crime. And since several Green Ribbon Panel advisory members, that's a panel set up by the Clark County Commission, said that it would help the dispensaries because now these places are getting robbed in the hours where they are not open. So if you keep them open 24 hours, especially in a 24-hour town, 24-hour state, it makes sense. What do you think about that?
Totally. North Las Vegas already is 24-hour, and they haven't had any problems. So, yeah, if you're going to hire security guards to watch it while you're not there, while it's closed, let the security guards be hired and keep it open.
Well,
it's a business decision. But the fact is, why do we care if somebody buys marijuana at 4 o'clock in the morning or between 8 and 10 during the day? It's irrelevant. If people want it and they're willing to pay for it, then and the stores are willing to be open to sell it, it's a win-win.
Has now, of course, they stay open, I think, till 3 a.m. Has there been a rash of burglaries in closed marijuana dispensaries? Because this is a, you know, cash and carry business. It would seem like that they would be prime targets for criminals.
It is, but it wasn't cash they were getting. Each dispensary has to have, even though it's locked on the outside, within there has to be a super safe room, which is locked, and then a safe inside that where the cash is kept. So no one has actually gone in and stolen cash, but there was a rash of burglaries where people were breaking in during the closed time and stealing limited amounts of things. But they caught a group, and that appears to be the same group that was doing it all. So to my knowledge, there hasn't been any more recent burglaries.
And that's where we have to leave it. Tick Sagablum, thank you always for being here. And obviously much more to talk about on this topic and many more. Thanks for being here.
Someday we'll talk about more of the marijuana, but for now it's pretty good.
I'll book you on that for next week, okay? We'll be right back.
All right.
The 5th Annual Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Valley Electric Association, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mike Draper is here, partnering with Argentum Partners. Sam Kumar is past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans. And Monica Jay is news anchor for News Talk 780 KOH, co-hosts the morning show along with Ross Mitchell. Pleasure to have you all here. So let's pick up on the discussion with Tick Sagablum. It seems to me that we're moving very rapidly down this road.
We're moving too fast. I mean, I've watched article after article come out from Colorado that they're still trying to figure things out. In the law enforcement, they've got kids buying it on the streets. It's something that, fine, let Colorado figure it out, and then let us go in and refine it if this is the will of the people, if we're going to do. But just to start, you know, oh, hey, okay, we got the recreational now. We got this approved. Let's get it into the venues, and we'll get it into the you know, locations where you can go, and you can have a lounge, and you can sit down. And it's just too much, too fast.
Now, you're in terms, you're talking about legal ways of doing things, but yeah, people are doing this illegally anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the fine balance. Is we have people that are doing this illegally. We've implemented a system, and we've begun to set a structure to where we can implement it legally, and hopefully it begins to dissuade some of the illegal use and sales. But I think to Monica's point, I think we really have to balance how do we regulate this and make sure that the right people are using it and that we're getting the maximum benefit with a minimum impact as possible. And I think that there's a lot of concern about whether or not that's really happening on this timeline. And so, you know, our faith is in our regulators right now to implement the will of the people and hopefully that they have the time to do that effectively.
Well, with the conversation with Tick, what really I think was the key thing is that next year, Nevada, he said, is going to allow home delivery of marijuana products to your door, which might keep you in your house. It might be a good idea because that way you're not driving it all in it.
We go from Uber to Duber.
I knew you were going to get in on quarter of a day at some point. Sam, what's your take on this?
Well, I think I agree with what both Monica and Mike had to say. We're going too fast. And just yesterday I was reading something about campaign highlighting the effects of marijuana on pregnant women. So we don't understand the ramifications entirely. I understand it's the law of the land. It's been passed through a ballot initiative, so we have to move forward. But it doesn't mean that we have to step on the accelerator pedal and go full blast forward.
All right, let me change topics on you guys here. Amazon is now scouting the country for a new location for its second headquarters. Thousands and thousands of jobs, huge investment in a community, game changer. The New York Times said that based on the qualifications that Amazon put out, Denver was probably the best place. But Nevada wants to be a part of this. Clark County certainly would have the ability to jump in. And Steve Sisolak, who's now running for governor but on the Clark County Commission, wants to put together a team effort, a coalition of folks down in Clark County to bring it. And I guess my question is, I'm going to start with you, Mike. You know, we have so much growth not only going on but in the pipeline for both northern and southern Nevada. Isn't something like this Amazon Center just going to be too much for our systems to contain?
I don't know if it's going to be too much. I mean, I think that there's a saying in the casino industry, as you know, Sam, you peak the peaks, right? And so right now we have the momentum and we have the infrastructure, too, especially in southern Nevada. I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunity by having somebody like Amazon here. On the other hand, as we've learned over the last couple of years, whether it's incentives or it's infrastructure in the communities, that's something that absolutely needs to be taken care of. I like the idea of doing it as a team coalition effort because hopefully that takes into account those other ramifications that minimize, again, the impacts that something like this would have on a community.
Monica?
I'm afraid to say anything negative about Amazon because they may be listening and they're going to own the world at some point. I mean, Bezos and those guys, you got food delivery now for your home. Prescriptions probably next. They're probably going to get it in the marijuana delivery. That's Amazon scares me, but it would be nice to have some of their business for a second headquarters, but put it down south.
Well, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, you have these massive projects in process moving forward. The Fountain Blue has now been taken up and is going to be completed and opened. You've got Genting's project on the strip of the old Stardust. You've got the Convention Center project moving forward, which is a multi-billion-dollar project. And here with an Amazon Center, you're talking about 50,000 jobs. This is huge, even for a place that does things big like Las Vegas. Is it going to be, at what point would it become too much?
I will take growth any way it comes, Sam. So to that extent, if it's now, we take it now. And we have to figure out a way to make it happen because opportunities like this, you can't wait until you're ready so that they show up. If they come up now, we take it and move forward with it. And we need to have the right leadership to build the infrastructure around it so that we are successful.
You know, though, Sam, infrastructure, the delay with projects and then the infrastructure, it's getting to the point where it's dangerous. I mean, you look at the highway out by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Complex, just listen to the nightly news. The traffic reports, there always seems to be an accident out there. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes the infrastructure lags years behind. And that's the one thing that really concerns me about bringing these big companies to Nevada, is that the lag of the infrastructure around it.
Monica, you know, having Senator Reid as our senator was very helpful in terms of infrastructure. And Lance Gilman has said, and along with Roger Norman, that we need to widen I-80 to address this problem right here. Do you think with Nevada's reduced clout in Congress, and we got about 15 seconds, that we're going to see a widening of I-80?
We won't see it. It's not going to happen.
Mike, you agree?
I completely agree. I think it's one of the dangers of, like you said, reduced clout and seniority in Congress.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, ProGroup moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast, Ray and I speak with Dana Bennett, the president of the Nevada Mining Association.